Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Well, we're certainly glad you're here tonight. Good to be in the service. We had a wonderful time here on Wednesday night. You appreciate the word of the Lord? God is so good to us. Brother Jackie Benton, he just steals your heart. He's just a real brother, and we certainly enjoyed his message last night. Tonight's another night. I believe we're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight, don't you? How many of you come with expectations in your heart tonight? Let's stand, if you will. Let's sing a little chorus just before we pray tonight over our prayer requests. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I guess key of G, maybe? No, that's probably too low. Raise it a little bit. We'll get this figured out sooner or later, I promise you. We're not going to worry about it. That's a little bit low. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Mission is forward. Shake somebody's hand tonight and tell them this: our mission is forward. Brother Sammy, our mission is forward, brother. You be healed. You be healed. Okay? Amen. Let you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at our prayer requests tonight. We want to remember Sister Estep in prayer. She's having a lot of pain. The doctors think it may be in regard to her kidneys. She's having a CT scan on Monday. Please pray that everything will be okay. Also pray for the Strong family in Ohio. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Want to pray for the niece of Sister Helen Weeb from Canada. Her young son, who is 5 years old, had open heart surgery and is having severe problems. Remember the young boy in prayer. So we want to certainly want to pray for that child, that family tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Want to pray for Brother Tracy. He is having a pacemaker put in on Monday. So let's remember Brother Tracy in prayer. Want to pray tonight for a little girl by the name of Ashton Ritchie. She's 5 years old, really needs a touch from the Lord in her body. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. And I guess this is in regard to the Weeb family. This is just a prayer request, says for a very urgent need for Susan Weeb and family. So let's just pray for those needs tonight. Sister Martha Ann Johnson wants us to remember her mother in prayer. Just a lot of dysfunctional things going on right now. And she's asking that we would certainly pray for her, that the Lord would just give her a touch in her body. Brother Samuel Shuffler wants us to remember him in prayer tonight, battling anxiety, depression, oppression, and many other things. But he says, I want to let you all know that I love you and I need your help. I want full deliverance. How many of you believe God's able to help our brother tonight? Brother Samuel, we're going to pray for you here just in a minute as a group. I believe God's able to help our brother tonight. I certainly do. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. I want four or five of you brothers to go to Brother Samuel right now. Just as we pray as a group tonight, I want you just to gather around him. Bow your heads, everybody. Brother Andrew, come and pray tonight. Brother Andrew Murray, we're glad to have this brother in the service with us tonight. Let's pray as a group, all these needs. Pray especially for Brother Samuel tonight as we pray. Brother Andrew, God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Lead us to the Lord. Amen.
Help me pray tonight. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you tonight on behalf of this service, God.
Yes, Lord.
God, we've gathered here, Father, with many people and many needs tonight, Jesus. God, we're calling up on you, Father, tonight to help us, Lord. God, many names have been read off this prayer request list tonight, Father, and God, we're praying that you'll come by and touch each and every person, God. God, we're asking especially tonight for our brother, Father, that you'll just touch him and help him, God. God, we have been taught by prophet that oppression and depression is nothing but an enemy called Satan. And tonight, God, we're calling your bluff in the name of Jesus, Satan. We bind you in the name of Jesus from our brother, God. Give him total peace and deliverance in his life, God. God, touch this family, Father, that needs a touch tonight, Lord. I pray, God, you'll touch the brothers he comes to minister the word to us tonight, God. God, we will not fail to give you all the honor and glory and praise for all you do in this service tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Andrew. God bless Brother Samuel Shuffler tonight. Somebody say, God bless our brother tonight. Say it, God bless our brother tonight. Hallelujah. Well, there's healing. There's healing through prayer, and I believe God's able to help our brother tonight. Brother Sammy, we just commit you to the Lord. God's able to help you in a wonderful, wonderful way. I believe that tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. When one member suffers, we all suffer. One member's having it hard, we're all having it hard, aren't we? But I know that we're serving a God that cares about us tonight. Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. So turn it back. Don't turn it back. Oh, change this whole world. Yes, you can have. Oh,
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. I know we've got a lot of folks traveling different places, so let's pray for traveling mercy for all of our church family and all those that are on the roads tonight. The Lord will be merciful unto them. Let me make a couple of announcements. They're making a new church directory tonight, and in the morning is the last time that you'll be able to make any changes to phone numbers, addresses, etc., whatever you need to change. If you do, please go to the library, make those changes tonight or in the morning. It'll be the last two times you'll have this opportunity. Also, there will be no service here this coming Wednesday night, so remember that. No service here this coming Wednesday night, so remember those announcements. Let's sing a song unto the Lord tonight. I feel like traveling on. Do you? Somebody say, I feel like traveling on. Amen. They can find that on the screen for us. Feel like traveling on. We'll start with the chorus. Maybe they'll find it here in just a minute or two. Okay? Give it, raise that just one little bit for me. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is right there. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Well, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old. Well, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Well, it's good enough for me. It'll make you love everybody. Makes me love everybody.
Life is worth give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We bless your name tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the name of the Lord. Well, God bless you. You're singing so good tonight. We're going to let you be seated, Brother Ben Norod and his family. I don't know exactly how many, or maybe all of them are here tonight. But Brother Ben and his wife, they're going to come and give us some songs tonight. Then Brother Ben's going to be speaking for us. How many of you are going to pray for our brother tonight? God will just help him and be with him. And may the Lord just make it real easy preaching and make you a real easy congregation to preach to tonight. I believe God wants us to have a good time in this service tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus as our brother gets ready to come at this time. Brother Ben down from, around Murfreesboro, Manchester, Tennessee area, somewhere down in Middle Tennessee. We're certainly glad to have our brother with us. It always blesses our heart when he comes, and we're going to give him the service at this time. But let's just sing a little chorus. You can remain seated because they're probably going to come out and sing for you. But let's sing the little chorus tonight. Only believe. All things are possible if we'll believe. How many of you want to believe with all your heart? Not a mental faith, but from here. We want to believe from here. God is going to give us what we have need of. I believe that tonight, don't you? Let's sing it tonight as our brother gets ready to come. Raise it just one more key, if you will. We'll get this worked out before long, I promise you. I appreciate our musicians tonight, don't you? Give them a nice hand, if you will. Only be. Are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Raise that one key. Let's sing it again. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Can you lift your hands to it? Say like this. Yes, Lord, I believe. Say it from your heart. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise. As our brother comes tonight, Brother Ben, God bless you, buddy.
Bless you,
buddy. Appreciate you. God
appreciate
bless you.
Good to see you. Amen. Y'all happy in the Lord tonight? You sure sound like it from back there, that's for sure. Sure appreciate the opportunity to be back here with you. Sure thank the Lord Jesus for giving us this opportunity to come together. One of these days, this that we know as church will become but a fond memory. But those memories will be of eternal value to you and I. Things that we'll never forget, how the Lord moved in special ways, special circumstances. I don't think there's anything that we could say or do to ever top what God's already done for us. You know what I mean? It's so beyond how could you even begin to thank Him? Words fail me. I don't have the opportunities to shout it like I want it. All I can say is, Lord, I believe You. I believe You. Amen. God bless you. Somewhere in this building, there's a short little lady about 5 foot in here, and I can't see her from up here, so she needs to make her way. That's my wife, Samantha. And we're going to sing a few songs. That be all right with y'all? Amen. Amen. Good to be here. So appreciate the Lord. Amen. God bless you. To stick around somewhere, that he's going to help us here in just a minute, I think. I'm just glad Canaan Land is just in sight. B.D.
Moses led God's children. 40 years he led them through the cold and through the night. Let's turn back. Moses said, keep going. Canaan Land,
yeah, you're
just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Well, we're going where there's milk and honey. It's just in.
How many believe it? Say amen. Wave your hand to the Lord.
Though we walk through valleys.
Yeah, come on, sing to me tonight.
Though we climb high mountains, we must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses.
Come on, somebody say praise the Lord tonight.
Oh, there will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Well, we're going where there's milk and honey flowing. That is where Canaan Land is just in. Come on, sing it again. Praise the Lord.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing. That is where I'm going. Canaan Land.
Oh, come on, you gotta sing another verse. I want you to listen to that, neighbor. Come on, sing it.
And though we walk through valleys, though we climb high mountains, we must not give up our fight. Oh, we must be like
along. I think she ought to sing a little bit more of that. What do y'all think? Come on now, sing another verse.
There will be no sorrow
there in that tomorrow. We will. be there
by and by.
We're gonna be there by and by.
Second verse again.
Though you walk through valleys, and though you climb high mountains, you must not give up your pride. You must be like Moses.
Oh, yeah, come on.
You've got to keep on going. Canaan land is just inside.
Lord Jesus. I'm glad about it, aren't you? Amen. How many Methodists are happy tonight? I can see a few of you, huh? That's for sure. All right. All right, Brother Louie, come get a mic. Come help us sing this. God Walks the Dark Hills. I'm going to tell you, friends, I believe that this song, of course, we've done this here for y'all before, but I'm going to tell you, it's got such a message in it. I think if there's ever a time that we needed to know that He walks them, it's right now. And I just had this on my heart. Last time we was here, and sang a little bit. Brother Lou said I was singing baritone as hard as I could on that song. Well, he ain't going to do it in the corner tonight. He's going to come do it with us. So if he messes it up, we mess it up. Blame Louie, all right? B flat. Sing a little bit.
Walks the dark hills.
to show me the way.
Show me the way.
To show me the
singing to you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Some of you Methodists got happy tonight. I'm proud of you, I really am. Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Thanks, buddy, for helping us. Enjoyed it. Before we get started into the message tonight, I have a special message that I'd like to bring to you sitting in the back office. And I got this message. Brother Ben, greet the saints at Happy Valley. The young people will be saying amen so hard, you'll hear it there. Your brother, Robert Marrero. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. I want to speak to you tonight on a willing and ready mind. Yeah, that's the way I felt when the Lord gave it to me. Romans 7, 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. How many has felt that way? I sure have too. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like how he puts this. He's not just saying, we don't have an answer, we don't have a way out. He says, this wretched man, I thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's my way out. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now listen to this carefully. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So there are two laws that lay within the flesh, that lay within the soul. Now, depending, as I read today, Brother Branham said in 1964 in Question and Answers, when a man's asking Brother Branham about this chapter, this portion of Scripture, Brother Branham, he said, explain what this means. He said, there's two people that exist that make up you. If you are a Christian, the old sticky cocklebur is this out here. He said, the life of God, of course, purged out that old life. He said, so the life is gone, but the flesh is still sticky. Look like some of y'all have heard this before somehow or another. Now, don't get quiet on me already because, you know, this is going to get right down real deep. Bone deep. Right where we need it. I said right where we need it. We don't need to be preached way up in there in the angelic realm sometimes. Sometimes you need to have the other you preached on too. That's right. So notice he says, verse 25 again, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now he's not talking about the fleshly mind, but the mind of the soul, or the mind of the real conscience of the believer. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I'd like to read to you from the greatest battle ever fought. I'm going to tell you all something. I wasn't raised in Pentecost, but I sure had a Pentecostal experience whenever I read this quote. When the Lord made this alive to me and really quickened this to my heart, I'm going to tell you, I saw some things that I said, Lord, help us as your children to be able to absorb this, to get this right. Now, I want you to notice how Brother Branham phrases this. And, of course, he's speaking about this battle that takes place between our mind and between our soul as being believers, born again. He said, if this church right now could be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord with not one shadow of doubt anywhere, there would not be a feeble person in our midst in another 5 minutes. There would not be nobody here desiring the Holy Ghost but what would receive it. Now, not just those wanting, well, I believe the message, maybe I'll get to hope, but desiring, actually desiring after the Holy Ghost. If that's a big word right there. You could just get that certain thing fixed. I certainly agree with you, Brother Branham. I've been about 21 years trying to get that certain thing fixed. Oh, y'all thought I meant you. I meant me. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. Now, there is where the battle begins. Now listen carefully. If you and I sit in these pews and think that we are absent and immune from such a battle, then somewhere or another we have allowed the devil to pull the wool right over our eyes. Friends, just look around the ranks of this message. People are living lives that are proof that this certain thing has not been fixed yet. They're not subjected. I read to the church the other night on Monday night in our Bible study some statements where Brother Branham said, when Jesus comes into a person, he wants to control your emotions. Now I wonder, don't answer, raise your hand, all that, but I wonder how many of you sitting here now, if the Holy Spirit moved on you to shout until your bobbin pins flew all over this church, how many of you would let Christ have control of those emotions? Matter of fact, he went on to say, every fiber of our being. So what real overcoming is not when we grab the devil by the tail and throw him down and stomp on him a while and say, I got you, boy. But it's when we grab ourselves by the tail. Ooh, come on, somebody. Yeah, it's going to be one of those kind of services. See it now, Brother Ed. Now, just think now. If that was the real overcoming, was overcoming the devil, then where do you fit in? Because the greatest enemy you've got is not the devil. It's you. That was so good, I'm going to read it again. He said, if you could just get that certain thing fixed. Now there is where the battle begins. Right in your mind, whether you will. Now look where he's putting this, right in our laps. Now remember, not Christian Science, mind over matter. The mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God. Excuse me, and there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it, but the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. Amen. He said, your mind accepts it. It grasps it. That's a pretty big thought right there. It grasps it. There'll be times that your flesh won't get this, but it will grasp it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So what is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. The spirit catches the word of God, and that's the thing that's got life and brings life into you. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, the word of God is manifested in you. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Shall we dismiss now? It's been pretty good, ain't it? Let's pray together, can we? Lord Jesus, how we thank you tonight, Father, for your mercy, your grace to us, Lord. We are of people, Lord, most miserable in this flesh. But you've placed something inside our hearts that we can love you and serve you, adore you, worship you. I thank you for this tonight. Because, Lord, without that little something inside of us, that little piece of God, as your prophet said, like a little white button, none of us would be sitting here tonight. We'd be out pleasing the flesh, doing the things of the flesh. But help us to understand how to subjugate it. How to make it come in dominion and authority of the Spirit of God that lay within us. Help us tonight. Help me on the platform, Lord, that I can get myself completely out of the way. I've looked at as much as I can look at. I've prayed. I've laid before your presence. I believe I have your mind. But if there be something that needs to be said tonight that maybe wouldn't even be in my human mind, lead me in that direction for that sheep that needs this touch from you. Oh God, and may you just anoint us together, Lord, that we can receive and feel from thy divine presence the things that we have need of tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. May be seated. May the Lord bless you. Now for my first hour's part of the hour sermon, I'm going to do my best to embarrass us. Because I think a lot of the problem that we deal with as human beings is not because we don't know the message, don't know quotes, haven't tried to be, you know, somewhat submitted to coming to church and long hair and long dresses and all that sort of thing. But a lot of our problem is we have so much pride. I don't mean just here. I mean all around, that we think we don't need to hear these kind of things preached. Now, the reality of it is that if that was really a true statement, that's the way it was, then somebody please tell me why preachers still have to preach on women bobbing their hair. Why they still have to preach on men doing this and men doing that, and women doing the other, and churches doing it, and preachers not doing that. Why is that there? I read today, again in question answer 64, Brother Bram explains to us that this flesh is this body of sin, as Paul called it, this body of this death. He explains it will be with us until the day of the consummation, the rapture. So the thing that you were born with, now, you know, of course, Brother Bram tells us in our natural makeup, there's all kinds of strains and things that come down from mother and father and this one and that one. And there's no way by your spiritual birth that you can birth that out of your flesh. It is there to the day you die. But I refuse as a child of God to accept that this body has to take authority over my soul. Come on, somebody. I refuse to believe that I have to live my life subject to temper and impatience and everything. Come on, somebody, say amen. Anything else that my mom and dad might have passed on to me, I believe that by the Spirit of God, that we have been endued with a purpose, an ambition to look beyond the bars of this bone, the bars of this flesh, the habitation that we dwell in, and to look to a higher power that lives inside of my heart and your heart. Now remember, the prophet of God told us, and remember the apostle Paul said, the great mystery of God down through the ages was Christ unfolding himself, making himself known in human bodies. Now God had the ability, of course, when Adam came to the earth to say, now look, I'm going to do it this way, Adam, and I'm going to show you all the little tricks the devil will pull on you. I'm going to let you just pass over all that. But of course, Brother Bam tells us in Melchizedek in February 65, he said that he was put here for tempting, testing, and trial to prove what he's made of. So here on this earth, one reason that so many things take place that people don't understand is because this is our proving ground. We are here to prove that we are going to believe and have confidence. Come on, somebody. No matter what's taking place. Now, you remember this one thing. That if we are truly God's heritage and God's blood-bought children, then there is no way, absolutely no way whatsoever, that the devil can take anything from you that you don't let him have. You are absolutely an authority upon this earth. There is no, the prophet of God said he set his kingdom up here on the earth, a messianic kingdom, and you are subjects and delegates of that heavenly realm of God. And every authority has been vested in your life. But the problem is, when we look at dummy, it's hard to believe that. Y'all don't get so quiet on me so shortly, so quickly. Now this is the hard part of understanding what it means to have a willing and ready mind. Now if we don't look at this in the right way, we're going to be trying to take this the Christian Science way, mind over matter. And that's what many people have done around the ranks of this message. They've taken quotes and scriptures and they've tried to believe it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and memorize until they think they've come to the spot. So I know how to tie the devil up now. Boy, I know exactly if he comes at me, I know the quotes I can use. That don't bit more surprise him than nothing in the world. But the bride that has the true impartation of the Spirit of God, she is not relying upon her memory. She is not relying upon her understanding. She is not relying upon anything fleshly at all. She is looking to the grace of Almighty God. I am not here. You are not here because we are so smart and so intellectual. Look where your smarts got you when you was a sinner. Look where your brains took you when you was a sinner. But oh, the grace of Almighty God that has taken us way beyond our smarts, our intellect. He has endued us and given us the ability to receive from a heavenly being. And that being has got power. And I don't care what Return Ministry Bunch says, he ain't alive. I don't care what soul or thunder or whoever they might be. I don't care if the giraffes, the alligators, and the turtles all say different. The Spirit of God is here bringing about a body change in you and I. And one of these days, this body will be swallowed up in death. Life itself will swallow this body of death up. And there will be no more of these strains that we put up with. But until... you got to put up with dummy. Praise the Lord. And dummy is truly a dummy. Some of y'all look at me funny somehow like you don't know what I'm talking about. Now come on, what gets you in more trouble? The word, church, preachers, worship, or you? You. Me, that's what gets us in trouble. So friends, the answer is to learn how to bring our mind in subjection, oh glory, hallelujah, that the Spirit of God could absolutely take our thoughts and them not be our thoughts, Brother Andrew, but to be the thoughts of Almighty God Himself. When you think like God, you'll speak like God.
When you think like God, you'll walk like God. When you think like God, your attitude, your behavior. Come on, somebody. Everything about you will reflect that something that is in your mind. The prophet even told us this way in 1950. He said, a man, let him say he's a drunk. He said, I'm a drunk. I'm the biggest drunk. He said, it won't be long. His body will obey his confession. Why? Because that's what he thinks he is. But if a man of God, don't you see why we need preaching? Preaching takes your thought of what you think about yourself, and it begins to erase that thinking and implants a reboot. Whenever your computer gets all messed up, you hit the reboot button. Sometimes when you come to the house of God, that's what servants of God do. They're rebooting the way you think. They're rebooting the way you look at things. Some people are like, you ain't going to touch my reboot. Don't you get away from that. But a true child of God raises their hands and says, Lord, if you got to reboot me over and over and over and over again, I want to be right with you, Lord Jesus. Now notice this statement again, how powerful this is. Now remember, Brother Bram says, if this church right now, you know, it's amazing to me how many people are looking off into the future for this right here to take place. We're not waiting on something to happen, friends. You are not going to be sons of God. You're not waiting for some revelation to smack you in the back of the head. I guess I'm a bride after all. No. You are receiving right now. Right now. Oh, glory. You are receiving right now the impartation that you are not a Methodist, not a Baptist. You are sons of God. So many people are waiting on something to take place that'll somehow reverse all of this mess in this message. And like every other good business, that seems to be a good business, they'll point their fingers at every other problem except for the corporation itself. Woo, come on now. Oh, you're going to get quiet, sure as well. That's all right. I can preach without you. I'm preaching without you. I don't have to have your amens. I'm preaching anyhow. I got my buddy, Brother Jimmy, back here. He'll back me up. He lives in Manchester. Now, notice he said, right now could be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord with not one shadow of doubt anywhere. There would not be a feeble person in our midst in another 5 minutes. I don't mind telling you, this quote ought to be lived amongst us. The majority may not live it, but we can live this quote. Maybe not in the church as a whole, but what about your homes? What about you, Daddy? What about you, Mama? That if you could get in such an accord and be knitted together, that every need that you've got tonight, the Holy Spirit can drop right in that home and speak out of the Word of God and speak out of the unction of the Holy Ghost and tell you how to handle your problems. We look everywhere else except where we should look. We looked at Dobson. We looked at this one, looked at that one. We should be looking up. So the question is begged then, why doesn't this happen? If this is truly what we believe to be the message that brought us back to full restoration, then why doesn't it happen like this? You know why? Too much us, not enough God. Woo! Glory. Brother Jerry, may just be me and you and Charlie tonight, but come on now, don't get quiet on me. Now I know these things scorch you, they burn you, they just get right next to you, but if we don't learn this, we will never be overcomers. It is going to take this to get us recognizing where the real problem's at. The real problem ain't the whoremongers on the street. The real problem ain't the bar rooms, it's us. Us! If I've seen it once in 21 years, I've seen it a million times. Pride is a killer. I don't know how many times I've sat down and talked to folks, try to help them. And you can't get nowhere with them because they are so stinking proud. Well, they'll finish quotes before you quote them. If you missed the date, they'll tell you what date it was you missed it. when we should be throwing ourselves on the mercy of God? Well, hallelujah. When we should be throwing ourselves on grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should be throwing ourselves not upon our own understanding, but upon the grace and the mercy of God. But you see, the problem is a lot of people around this message, us included, we feel like we've arrived. If this is where we were supposed to go, I'd like to go back home, please. Now notice he said, there would be nobody here desiring the Holy Ghost but what would receive it. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. Now you take your car into a mechanic and you don't want him working on it, you ain't gonna get nowhere. So the one reason people ain't fixed, they don't want to be fixed. I know what I'm doing, bless God. Let me alone. Let me handle it. I can see you've handled the business so well thus far. But instead of letting a trained mechanic get a hold of it, letting a man that's anointed by the Spirit of God to go down there and take the word of the Lord and put it together to help diagnose your problem, we are too stuck up for such people. Ooh, you're going to get me in trouble again, so is the world. Now notice he said, now there is where the battle begins. Where? Between you and you. Hey, it's never been my soul that didn't want to pray. It's never been my soul that didn't want to go to church. It's been me. Me. This one right here gets lazy. This one right here, well, I guess I'm the only one. Oh, I see there's some more of you. This flesh, you know what? You're tired. You're tired. You travel a lot. You preach a lot. Don't you think you deserve a little bit of a break? Why don't you just hang out of church? Nobody will miss you. They might think you're gone anyhow. They won't know you're back home. I have to say, look here, boy, you need to shut your mouth as I'm taking my soul to the house of God. Amen. I'm filling it with the word of the Lord. I'm getting blessed by the Spirit of God. I am bathing my heart in the anointing of the hour. Sometimes this person, I want to go. You say, shut up, you're going on. I don't want to go. No, no, no. I say, come on. Come on. So right there, Brother Jerry, that's where the battle begins. It doesn't begin if you are converted all over. You never feel lazy. If you were converted from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you would never get discouraged. Praise the Lord. So what bothers you then? Not your soul. Dummy. Somebody asked me one time, said, what's it like to preach here at Happy Valley? I said, same place as everywhere else. People are people everywhere you go. And I can see some of you squirming like they squirmed in Michigan, like they squirmed in Indiana, like they squirmed. You know why? Our flesh don't want to hear this. Our flesh don't want to hear these things. Come on, somebody. But if we are to make a rapture, friends, we have to crucify. Oh, glory. We have to crucify this flesh anew in the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, don't just hit me. Hit me over and over again if I need to be. Now, notice this. Let's just dissect this. I love this statement anyways, Brother Ram says here. He said, remember, it's not Christian science, mind over matter. Now, y'all know what that is, don't you? So when you take a thought, and if you concentrate on it hard enough, you'll be able to overcome the circumstance by the power of your mind. Sounds like church members. Now, if I focus on Acts 2:38 long enough, and if I stare down in Acts 2 and 38 and repent and be baptized, eventually, you can stare all you want to. You can concentrate all you want to. It ain't going to get you wet in the water. Well, it ain't going to get the blood of Christ dipping on your soul. You got to do more than concentrate. You've got to immerse yourself. You got to be baptized. Say, Lord, not just my head, but all of me. So what we have today is message, mind, over matter. Message science. Ooh, glory! Give it enough time, enough memorizing, and it'll overcome on its own. And then we wonder why folks ain't got joy, ain't got peace, ain't got love. They hate one another, backbite, tear one another down, jealousy, this, that, and the other. Come on, Happy Valley. Come on, Happy Valley. Don't you get quiet on me. But that's the very reason right there why we don't have a higher revelation of what we're supposed to be. You wake up in the morning instead of saying, praise God, it's good to be a child of God. You wake up and say, I hope the devil don't see me get up this morning. Or you wake up on the side of the bed and put your feet down there and the first thought that hits your mind is, you might as well go back to bed, you hypocrite. You ain't even got what you say no how. And we sit around, oh, that's right. That's the truth. That's the truth. If I've ever heard the truth, that sure is the truth. Oh, I tell you, that's right. And you wonder why your body is obeying your confession. Your mind. Your mind. I just wonder, friends, if we could recognize how powerful them negative thoughts are to us. If they will produce such fruits and such attributes from negative thinking, what would holding our mind true to the Word of God do for you and I? I'll tell you what it would do. It revolutionized our lives. Come on, somebody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now notice again, he says mind over matter. He said that hasn't. The mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God. And there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. Now notice this carefully. Just your thought doesn't do it, but the Word of God brought into the channel of your thought. So it's not your thought anyways. It's the thoughts of God. That's what brings conversion. When a man will take the thoughts of God into his mind, if he hears repent and be baptized, and then he chases it with his own thought. That's not for you. You'll never get it. You've tried 1,000 times. If you keep that thought there, you will never succeed. That is why we must purge our thinking. We must purge our mind and say, Lord Jesus, help me to get all this trash out of my mind. Because that's the thing that's killing us. Friends, it's not that the Word ain't powerful enough. It ain't that the Word ain't got the ability to get us where we need to go. It's what we are chasing with that Word. We have become spiritual ambulance chasers. We have become ambulance chasers, tornado chasers. Every old demonish thought, sensual thought that goes through our mind. We say, well, I guess I have to accept it. No, you don't. You don't have to put up with thoughts from hell. If you're a child of God, you can say, Lord, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are holy, help me, Jesus, to think on these things. Let's be honest, okay? We don't do that. That's why we get into trouble we get into. But I want to tell you, I'm not just trying to dig you a hole and throw you in it. But one of these days, we will. I said, we will. We will think like God. We will have the very characteristics. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We will have the very life's blood of God himself flowing inside our mind, our soul, our body. We do not have to accept a hand-me-down religion. Your prophet said the Pentecostal skies are full of the real. Why would we accept a substitute? Because we tell ourselves we have to. Well, should we have the altar call now or when? I'm going to be the first one right there. Don't you get my spot, Terry. That's where I'm headed in a little bit. Now notice this again. He said, the mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God. There brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought, your thinking. Your mind accepts it. Oh my, you talk about a miracle. And it grasps it. Now I know that first it is supposed to be, you know, punctuation and grammar and popular grammar and appropriate grammar. But when I see that capital IT accepts and grasps onto capital IT, I don't see grammar. I see God. Because there have been many times you've been sitting right here in the house of God and your flesh in Walmart, your mind over it, wherever it might be, you might be thinking about Olive Garden and that brand new shrimp special they got. You'll be everywhere else except for here in the house of God. But your soul is trying with all it's got to pull down and say, Lord, I need that. I need that. Do you recognize, friends, the very reason we leave this church house defeated so many times is because we don't subjugate our minds. Certain people, you know, that when you go to talk to them, they won't even look at you. You know, they just... I've always wondered, how in the world can you have a conversation with the back of somebody's head? I look around a little bit too, but I'll look you right in the eye and we'll talk. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk. We'll have some kind of agreement together. But people, they've got to where they don't even know how to hold a conversation anymore. They sit around and while you're talking, yeah, that's great, Yeah, sounds good. Good, Brother Ben. Yeah, that's a great quote. Yeah, you know why? There's no risk in inanimate objects. There's no broken hearts. There's no potential busted relationships. It's easier to get friendly with a computer. Kind of reminds me of some folks' so-called religion. It's easier for them to get friendly with a computer. No risk involved. No trials involved. Well, come on, somebody. No risk involved, but a real child of God says, Lord, I don't care what the risk is. I don't care what I gotta go through. I have made my decision to go on with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a statement. Who thought all this preaching was in that one quote? Anyhow. Now notice he says your mind accepts it. It grasps it. So what is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. Your spirit catches the word. That's the thing that's got life into it. Brings life into you. Oh brother. When that takes place. When life comes down that channel into you. So how does it get there? It's got to come through you. And you are the greatest battle that has ever been fought. It's easy to read quotes, isn't it, brothers? It's easy to read what Brother Bam said, read what the Bible said. Getting you to accept it is a whole lot harder. Is that right, Brother Jackie? It's hard when you're standing up there telling about Jesus' love and Jesus' grace and Jesus' mercy, and then somebody say, oh, you're not deep. You don't preach nothing spiritual. Who are you to gauge what is spiritual? If your soul needs to hear that Jesus loves you, if your soul needs to hear that He's a Redeemer, that He's got grace, that He's got mercy, push your thought aside and say, preach to me, man of God, preach to me. Hallelujah! But the problem is our mind, it's like the Berlin Wall. It holds out the good things, keeps in the bad things. You'll read a book about overcoming and read a book about translation and read a book about this or that, and your mind will sit there and put together your own judgment. Some folks ain't going to need the white throne. They're doing it to themselves right now. They made themselves stand before the altar of their own mind. They have been judged. They have been jury. Come on, somebody. They have already condemned themselves. And the Word of God's trying to bring them freedom. Trying to bring them liberation. Are you with me tonight? Trying to bring them such liberation, such freedom. The devil cannot poke one thing in their brain no more. And yet they'll sit there and they'll sit there and they'll sit there and sit there. And the further they read, the more they imprison themselves. You know why? I think. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Preach it, Brother Ben, I believe it! See, I told you it's hard. I told you it's hard. There's some of you sitting here, don't like this. You don't want to hear me preach this way. You are souped up. Oh, he's going to preach on the rapture. I just know it. He's going to preach on grace. I am preaching on grace. I am preaching on rapture. I am preaching on mercy of God. If you ever understand that you can be liberated from the body of this death right now? That is, what kind of grace are we talking about anyhow? Well, I know we're talking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now, let's notice here how Jesus begins to capture the mind of these men here in this picture where Simon Peter comes and says, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Now, let's look at this picture real closely, real carefully. Now, notice this. Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, notice the purpose of his question was to penetrate their minds. The very reason he was asking them is he was giving them the opportunity to let the word sink down into their minds. Now, watch this carefully. As Jesus goes to bring this thought to them. Now watch. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now, is it any wonder that Jesus could not get his point across to such people like this? Their minds were already filled with so much garbage, he couldn't get to them. I'm going to tell you, Brother Jay, the Lord showed me this. I had a shouting fit in my motel room. I was up in Connecticut not long ago preaching. The Spirit of God revealed this to me while I was preaching. I mean to tell you, I shouted till my shadow was broke. I needed divine healing for my glory to God, my hallelujah. Because if you can recognize this picture as the very picture of where we're living today, that's the reason the Word has no effect on some people, because they've got so much already preconceived notions. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. They've got so many ideas about what they think. Ah, there's the trouble. So Jesus says, "Charlie, maybe we didn't get this just right. Let's try this again. But who say ye, not Dobson, not this scholar, not that psychologist, not this pastor, not that bishop, not that potentate, ye." Don't you see what he's doing? He's trying to penetrate their mind. He's trying to penetrate their thinking so that the Spirit of God can implant the Word of life inside their natural mind. But so much like people today, they just sit back and they just look around and they think, "Well, I've heard that before. I've heard that preached before. Yeah, I know. No, Brother Ben, it was 1965, not 1962. No, that's paragraph 14, not paragraph 21. Don't you see why the word has no effect? Don't y'all sit there and look at me like a bunch of geese and ganders. You know what I'm talking about. There are some of you, no doubt, here tonight that are struggling with things in your life, and you have been praying, "Lord Jesus, give me the answer." Behold your answer. This is the answer to how to get victory over these things. Free your mind from preconceived notions. "But who ye say, who say ye that I am?" Why? He was trying to penetrate their mind, Brother Jim. He was trying to get down inside their thinking and get there in such a way to where that the Holy Spirit was sitting there waiting on the banister. Would you imagine if we look beyond the curtain of time, there was the Spirit of God, His great wings stretched out, getting ready to penetrate anyone that would give Him just a moment. And yet there the Spirit of God, God's agent on the earth, the Lord Jesus, is trying to penetrate their mind like so many does today when we're preaching the gospel to liberate and to set free and to open blinded eyes. The Holy Ghost setting it ready. And ready, just give me a moment, just a moment. Just one thought. One thought that agrees with my word. Now I wonder if we looked at this picture in a much, much different way, if we wouldn't see the Spirit of God grieved from these other individuals. And Simon Peter answering and says, "Thou art the Christ." It's not polite to speak in tongues while you're preaching, is it? I sure feel like it, though, I promise you that. Why? This is truth, friends. This is reality. This is not something we read in a book and, oh, well, it might have happened. This is where people are at today. Think about it. Think about the way the Holy Spirit speaking to us tonight. Why would the Lord Jesus anoint me to preach such a thing? The entire world is listening through that camera out there. Why would I want to preach something that tickles everybody's ears? You know why? Because I ain't no puppet. I ain't never going to be no puppet. And may every critic here around the world, I will never back down from the infallibility of God's Word. It is the truth, whether I can live it or not, whether you can live it or not. Let the critics say what they want to. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no maybe in my vocabulary. And there shouldn't be in yours either. Simon Peter answered, thou art a message book. Thou art an MP3 player. He had a better revelation than some folks do today. Lord have mercy. You look pretty big. You probably could protect me. Thou art the Christ, the Christos, the anointed, the Messiah. Not just a man in a body, but the anointing resides with you. Oh, Lord Jesus. If we could understand the power that lays in that revelation, what was it? Not just a man repeating words, but his mind opened up to say, thou art the Christ. Do you not reckon that Peter could have said, you know what, John, he might be right about that, and Jim and Sally and Fred, they might have a pretty good idea on that. No, no, he done what we should be doing today. He closed his mind. Closed it off and said, I refuse to believe anything else other than what the word of the Lord said about this man. The prophet said, he knew my name. He knew who I was. That's more than a man that's doing these works. Once his mind got in agreement with the promise of the age, the Spirit of God floated down from the banisters. Great Mama Jehovah Eagle, she began to flap her great wings and hover over the nest. And there, oh glory, there was Peter, that heart and that mind open. And the Spirit of God drops into his heart. And Jesus catches it falling from that realm. Remember, Jesus was a prophet like unto Moses, so he could see in other dimensions. That's how I knew devil's done this and devil's done that. He was a window into that realm that they could see what was taking place. Oh, glory. And the Lord Jesus saw Almighty God, his Father, drop down through that banister. And whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let it drop in every one of our hearts tonight is my prayer. Let it drop that same way. Amen, Brother Daniel. May the Spirit of God drop on every one of us tonight and bring us a brand new anointing. A fresh brand new anointing. Jesus answered and said unto him, notice the Word is repeating to him what the Word had already revealed. So any revelation that comes from anybody, the Word will have a say against that revelation. The minute the revelation dropped, the Word, who was Christ, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, Jesus, who was the Word. Right? Remember, he said the Word told Peter to walk. The Word said, come, follow me, the Word. So once the revelation dropped, it wasn't just revelation only, but the Word, oh Lord. What was Jesus? He was the fulfillment of all the Word. Was he not? Was he not the manifestation of all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them? He was the Word made flesh. And once that revelation, Brother Terry, dropped into his heart, the Word vindicated his revelation. That's why we couldn't have believed Brother Bam to be a right word prophet unless what he preached was backed up by the Word. We believe serpent seed because we can find it in here. We believe water baptism because we can find it in here. We believe how women and men should dress and act because we can find it. Come on, somebody. Now, maybe you're not using this book right here. That's what's keeping you in so much trouble. But if you will allow your mind to get rid of all that trash, all that nonsense, say, Lord, sanctify and cleanse my mind. That whatever your word says, oh, glory, whatever your word says, I want to yield to that word. If it is truly God, the Bible will back up your experience. That's why some go from believing the sign to grieving the sign, because they never had the Holy Ghost. It ain't a new debate. People have been trying to figure out for years how to discredit Brother Branham's ministry. And they'll keep on doing it until we die. Either by discrediting it altogether or trying to make a God out of the man. One way or another is trouble. Trouble with a capital T. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Somehow the Lord Jesus will back up what he says. If this ministry of Malachi 4 was truly the ministry of God, all of heaven will back up what he said. And I don't want to stop just there, but I'll say, if you're a part of this move, as he said, thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the bride. If you are a part of God, all of heaven and earth is behind you. Behind you and behind you and behind you. The Spirit of God will back you up. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are a part of the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all kind of felt like what I felt in that room now, don't you?
Sure enough.
And Jesus, the Word, answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. So what was he saying this for? Because the other men were leaning upon flesh and blood. That's why they didn't have any place for the Word, Brother Jim. They couldn't have anywhere to put it. They were so full up here of what this one said, that one said, this history, that terminology, this statistic, that statistic. Listen, we have no proof in this hour except for one infallible book, and that's the Bible. You just remember this, children of God. The minute a man goes to trying to prove what he believes by Wikipedia and this theology and this internet study and that, and does that apart from the Word, not there's anything wrong with them things in himself. But when they use that as a basis for whether they believe or they do not believe, that person is headed for a lake of fire. A brother asked me a question the other day in an email about different things, you know, concerning the woman, the birth, about a baby, whether it's alive before miscarriage or whatever. And I said, now, brother, there's a lot of ideas that surround these things. I said, but suffice it to say this, every ideal we believe, and I put about five places where Brother M said, everything we believe must be based upon the Bible. But oh, I had this dream, I had this revelation, such and such said to me, this angel appeared, and I got this something and that something. That trash ain't never led nobody to God. Come on, somebody. You know what I look for whenever I look into somebody when they're saying we're going to do thus and thus? I always look at it this way, the way my pastor taught it back home. Look and see where that doctrine is going to lead them, and you can pretty much tell who's behind it. Well, I ask you, who was behind these men's thinking? Some say you're Elias. Where'd their doctrine come from? Some say you're John. Where'd they get the foundation for it? There was no substance. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, children? There was no substance of what was being said. They were basing what they had upon what somebody else thought. Oh, God, let this be ground into our heart tonight. That's the reason we fail. We either take somebody else's opinion, or we take our opinion. Boy, I've never seen folks go from shout to pout so quick in all my life. Brother Robert, we need them amens now, buddy. Let them young people holler out. Rebecca, you out there? I need your amen out there. It's one of his young people. She got a great big loud one too. I like to hear them great big hearty amens and hallelujahs. Why? Because that's more than head knowledge. Do you think I or Brother Donnie or some other man wants to hear your amen? That's not it. Almighty God wants to hear you say, I believe it. I believe it. I preached in Nazarene and Methodist and Baptist and Church of God's, and they never even blinked. It didn't stop me none. I preached anyhow. I don't care whether you say amen or not. It's not for my benefit, it's for yours. I'm not coming on somebody for my somebody. It's you somebody that somebody needs to come on somebody. Oh, hallelujah! Why? Because your mind gets attached to certain things, and when you get mad about something, you set back. And you start, you know, you got that little gesture that everybody knows that you're upset. Everybody knows you're mad. I've seen them thumb through psalm books and stare at the ceiling and count the lights and everything else in the world. Instead of sitting there and saying, Lord Jesus, help me be the kind of man I need to be. Help me be the kind of woman I need to be. Come on, somebody. But no, they sat there with some critical something on their eyes. Well, he looked right at me when he said that. Would somebody please tell me where I'm supposed to look? Unless you want me to preach to the PA speakers in the organ. Get saved! Get saved! Us preachers have got to look somewhere. It might as well be you. Now notice this. Oh, hallelujah. Let's turn now to Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. Can I have about another 2 hours? Thank you. Half of you was like, is he serious? You could never tell with that one. He's one of them shifty-eyed guys. Well, I got news for you. I was at a place the other day, and I'm not a long-winded preacher sometimes. But I was at a place not long ago, and the Spirit of the Lord got to move, and we had one Sunday service. I preached 3 hours. I looked up at the clock, and I said, my goodness, is that true? And the pastor got up and said, I can't believe what time is. Didn't even feel like that. I felt so ashamed of myself. I went to that room. I said, Lord, I've never done something. I hope I didn't hurt them people. My goodness, I wouldn't have imagined the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And said, do you remember what the prophet said about when he said about church hold, about the 45 minute, the most effective service? He didn't say that was for believers. He said that's because there was other people gathering in, because he finishes the quote by saying, remember, if you're there with believers, you can stay there all night long. So you just remember, if you're watching your watch, that quote is for you. Ooh, glory! Well, praise the Lord. I'd hate to come all the way up here and my mentor, my hero, and the church I look up to as much, and y'all just kick me out of my ear for this preaching like this. I'd just break my heart, but I guess if it's gotta happen, it's gotta happen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look here in Genesis 22, 17. Now what are gates? Now I'm going to just go over this quickly because I think we understand this. Now notice that he says to Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now notice the gates of the enemy are see, touch, smell, imagination. Come on, somebody. These are the gates of your enemy. Psalm 24, 7 through 10. I love this statement here. Now notice the Lord Jesus in time. Now we know that the Old Testament was God hiding himself in simplicity, God revealing himself in simplicity. So God hid himself in the Old Testament and then began to reveal himself in the New Testament. He hid in the life of Ruth, hid in the life of Job, hid in the life of all these different men and women, and revealed himself, as Paul tells us, the mystery in Ephesians, he said, that have been hid, has now been made known or revealed unto the ages, which is Christ in you. So Christ hiding himself in this Old Testament time. Now, Jesus descending upon, within 72 hours, he raises from the dead, and he has to go upon the earth for about 40 days or so, because he's waiting to get the type right for the 50th, which is Pentecost. So he has to linger there during that Old Testament time. But when Jesus is going to go into the gates of heaven and go into the pearly celestial realms, he's got to go in through gates to get in. Now watch this tight. This is beautiful right here. I'm telling you something else. He said, Psalm 24, 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up. I didn't know gates had heads. So they ain't talking about brass bars and metallurgical this and that. He's talking about people. Brother, sister, it's never been any different. It's always been the same type. People. People are what God... Hallelujah. That's where God dwells. Do you not know that that's where the temple of God is? You. You. You, Brother Jimmy. You, Brother Ed. We are truly the embodiment of the Son of Man Himself. Christ. Oh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And be lift up, ye everlasting doors. And we have a prophet come in 1965 and preach to us doors within a door. Coincidence? I think not. And the King of Glory shall come in. Now notice the criteria for the King to come in. He had to get through gates and doors. A willing and ready mind. Now notice, who is this King of Glory? He's a tape player, full of battery, full of energizer. Well, you read it if I've got it wrong. Who is he? The Lord. Mighty. Strong and mighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord. Mighty. In. The greatest battle that's ever been fought. Shall we stand or go on? Notice in the mighty conqueror above him said all of a sudden those Old Testament saints come in the side of the big beautiful city and they screamed with one great blast that shook the heavens. So then people believe and get noisy too. And this ain't no soccer game neither. Now look, the very response of seeing the Lord Jesus taking his precedence, taking his predominance, and taking his authority caused a response to come out of the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people that was responding, glory to God. The people that was responding to this Lord that was raising himself mighty in battle and strong, it caused them to sit there and go, How in the world did we get from the land of heaven to the land of Nod? Look like message Bible dolls, you know. When these people seen the Lord winning this great battle, it had such a response out of them. It had something they begin to scream and holler and raise their hands and glorify God and say, thank you, Lord, thank you. Open up everlasting gates. Open up the everlasting doors. Let in the Lord mighty in battle. Who is he? The Lord strong, mighty in battle. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, Holy Spirit. Again, the greatest battle ever fought, it must be accepted in the mind and believed with the heart. Then the Word of God becomes a reality. Then every sense of soul and body is just scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Your sense of God, your conscious of God, and everything that's godly is flowing through you. Can I go a bit further? Thank you. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Y'all didn't act like you wanted to quit, no, and I didn't either. Now notice this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now notice the very positivity that surrounds this experience is once you get it, you can't lose it. I heard a story about a black man one time. He couldn't shout with a mule in the hand. He said, hold my mule so I can shout. Some of y'all act like you got a hold of a mule somehow or another. Big old long face. Remember the prophet said, we don't believe in mule religion. He said, you can kick him until he dies, but oh, a child of God, that's full of the Holy Ghost, they can say, be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me, Jesus. I believe you open up everlasting gates. Now notice this battle between your flesh and your soul. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed. You can't lose it. You can't break it. Hey, I don't care how bad you do, how big you mess up. God's seal is bigger than your mess up. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I kind of feel like preaching a little Pentecostal now. Oh, glory. The Spirit of God's bigger than your mistakes. The Spirit of God's bigger than your mess ups. The Holy Ghost is greater than all your failures combined. There is nothing greater than the seal of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I bless you, Lord. Notice this again. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath. Now, how in the world did we go from a sermon about you being sealed to you being sorry? Now, friends, you know, I'm just saying this in a way so I can make it real to you. But look at how that Paul himself, now for some of those people that believe, as I've heard it told different places around the country, some people believe that this Paul in Romans 7 was speaking prior to his conversion about that something in the flesh against the soul. If that be the case, then why did Paul preach this? If he believed the seal done away with all these things, why was he speaking to message people about their wrath? Maybe because Paul knew sealed people still deal with wrath. Now you're going to say amen or oh me one way or another, but I'm going to make you wiggle before this is over with. I'm not backing down because you push against me. You need to hear this more and I need to preach it. That's right. The Holy Ghost told me to preach this. You best open up your heart before you get in trouble. Because our daddy spanks. Our daddy whips. Our daddy don't take it laying down. He comes after his kids when their behavior so pulls out of him that he needs to correct them. That's where some of us are headed. I haven't been listening around here, but I'm sure the sermons have probably been pulling some in that direction. Because the Holy Spirit does not allow you to sit there. If you've truly got this seal, He will not let you sit there full of wrath and anger and bitterness and this and that and the other and expect to make a rapture. There's no way that such a life could be worthy of the gospel. Oh, but there is something that helps you. You get preached on. I told a group of people the other day, Brother Adam said, confessions are like stones. Your confession is like a stone. And unless you have a sharp tool from a stonemason to cut you, you ain't nothing but a raw piece of rock. So you know why you come to the house of God? So that that man of God can shape you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So he can take that word and put it right on your wrath. Right on your bitterness. And say, you've got to get this thing straightened up. And if you're a good boy, you do what Jesus says do. If you're a bad one, Jesus does what Jesus does. Praise the Lord. Now, no, y'all said I could go on. That's your fault. I tried to quit 2-3 times. You said keep going. Don't blame me, blame you. Oh, glory. Notice again, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from. Now, who in the world was he talking to? Saints. People that were sealed. And be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. What does this sound like, Brother Terry? Jerry, help me. What does this sound like? I know. Sounds like Christians. Sounds like men and women that have been cut on. Oh, come on, don't you look at me that way. You know you sit there and when this red light up here at Happy Valley, that's the longest crazy red light I've ever seen in my life. I drove in every kind of red light there is to drive, and that is the longest red light I've ever seen in my life. You sit there and 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 sit there. And if you're like me, you don't like to sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And I'm sitting there waiting for it to go green. And the light next to it will go green. I said, go, Sam, go, go, go. And she'll slam the brake. I said, what'd you do that for? She said, it's red. I go, oh, I know it. I know it. So while I'm sitting there, I have to repent. Because I see some of you all been doing the same thing. Hold on yourself. So is the world. Why? Because this flesh gets aggravated. You get to a spot to where you feel like, I can't handle this anymore. Has anybody been there but me? You just feel like, I can't take anymore. What is that? Knock the seal. Gates. Notice this again in the hour to come. Brother Bam says, or excuse me, let's catch that last line. Even as God, that's too important to leave out. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Way too important to pass over. That's the basis of why you're even sitting here tonight. It's the fact that Christ could look past all of our nonsense. Hallelujah! That Christ could look past, oh glory! Look past all of our mess and see something down inside of us that he could say, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my daughter. That's my son. Glory to God. Jesus said the soul produces a certain type of thinking. Matthew 15:19, Mark 7:21, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So change the soul, change the control tower or the seat of where the thoughts originate from, and the rest of the body will change to match that which is on the inside. Whew, Lord, that was a mouthful. Glory, that was good. So the thoughts inside the heart are the thing that motivates the ambition and the final outworking of the individual's life. So if their heart is not changed and it's just message science over matter, then they will always produce and cater to those thoughts that lay within the soul. That's why when the word is preached, they don't believe it's for them, because they've never really let the Spirit of God purge from them unbelief. Now, just like with Peter, let's look and see what it does for you and I, okay? Can we take some time to do this? All right, he says, the hour has come. He said, now the Holy Spirit is so timid, you know, very timid, and I must find favor with him first. Three witnesses, sometimes if the people, if there's noise or excitement or something, I'm not talking about shouting and glorying, as this very same prophet say, now if you get happy and say, praise the Lord, amen, it ain't going to hurt me a bit. He's talking about disruption, out of order. Noise or excitement, he said, the Holy Spirit, very timid. Just the least little thing will grieve it away. Why do we consider this just being making unnecessary trips to the bathroom? Why do we consider this to be some foul word coming out of our mouth on accident? Why is it just limited to such a scope as being things like that? When I'm going to show you right now and to see Jesus, watch this statement. It goes deeper than that. Brother Bram says, all right, let the patient come. As you come, lady, come believing. Don't have any doubts in your heart. For if you are just a little. I just read to you, Brother Bram said, the least little thing. So if you are just a little suspicious, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not, because it's a very timid being. God's provided way, Brother Bam says. Now, Lord, you knew I'd need this quote tonight, didn't you? You knew I'd need this statement, didn't you? Now, we got plenty of time. He says, don't be in any rush. I know some of you think, bless God, he already sang 20 minutes. I ain't going to preach 4 hours. All right? Now watch this. Wait, look at the way the Holy Spirit views such thinking of the mind. Now notice he says, that don't you get to rush him, and the Holy Spirit is very timid. I don't want you to rush. I want you to be reverent, like you have plenty of time. Woo! He didn't say you had plenty of it, but act like you did. Ooh, that right there put the rubber right on the road, fellas. Ooh, come on, somebody. Oh, but I know it's a rush, 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 rush. Hurry up, get to the punchline. And Brother Donnie preaches 455,375 sermons. You're still waiting for the punchline. I wish he'd hurry up. Maybe God knows you need to learn how to act like you have plenty of time. Hey, I'm not throwing off on that. I'm not throwing off on that. I think a man take his time, preach a million series as if he wants to. I think it's a help to the people. Don't just rush through this and rush through that. But look at what kind of mindset people have when a man dares take an extra 20 minutes. Say, do you know why they're doing that? Because their thoughts are upon getting out of there. Now, I want to ask you something, Happy Valley. If the Holy Spirit needed an extra 15 minutes to get through to somebody, and you were sitting there with a little suspicious thought in your mind, what kind of atmosphere and what will you answer for at the day of judgment if you hindered somebody in that extra 15 minutes? Come on, somebody. If God needs an hour, if God needs all night, we should be just like we have plenty of time. Now, be real reverent, everybody, now. He said, be real reverent. Keep quiet. He says, the Holy Spirit is timid. How many knows that? Real timid. Just any little interruption bothers him. Now, what's he trying to achieve? I ask you. If just like with Peter, the Spirit of God is laying at the banister, waiting for their thoughts to align with the very Word of God, no suspicion, no doubt, no disbelief, no this, no that, and the Spirit of God is waiting in the wings, waiting for them just to open their mind just a moment. And the Holy Ghost comes. And you feel His influence strike the service. If that individual allows their mind to be interrupted, that might be the very moment that the Spirit of God was going to plant in them a revelation that would change their life forever. Don't you see why the devil wants you to get your mind on your bills and your job and your this and your that? I saw a little cartoon just the other day on the internet of a man sitting there at his desk, and he had this bill, that bill, and this thing, and he was holding up his debts and all that. And there was two little birdies sitting on the windowsill looking at one another saying, I don't know why he's so frustrated. God always takes care of our bills. You ever see a bird with high blood pressure, Brother Tim? Well, he's out yonder out west. Did you see them birds flying around with a big old cuff on their arm? I got to get checked. My blood pressure's a little high this week. Got to get a new pill. They're not worried about it. You know why? Jesus takes care of it all. They've got confidence. They've got faith and confidence that Jesus will take care of it. As a matter of fact, it never even enters their mind. It never even enters their little bird brain mind that Jesus would do any other than what He's always done. But human beings, we're different, aren't we? So when we see things start mounting up and problems come this way and that way, all of a sudden we lose our bird brain mentality. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. We'd be best off being bird brains than another kind of brain. At least that way we'd be helpless and the Holy Ghost could do something with us. About somebody. Not a bunch of stubborn people. I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do the other. I can see right now you need healed from eye disease. But you just think, any little interruption while you're sitting in the house of God, in your mind, the devil starts working on your thoughts. And right at the very moment, the Spirit of God was coming right down your avenue. Because remember, we don't need Brother Branham to tell us where we live. The Holy Ghost knows that. No disrespect to God's servant, but we don't need a prophet to stand up on this stage and tell you what your name is and what you had for dinner. My God, if you don't know what you had for dinner, you got bad trouble and I never help you with. Come on now, don't set up for jokes. It's the house of God. But think of how the devil does the things that he does. He implants these little snippets of this and that and the other. And if you're successful during the day to kick him out, he'll catch you when you're sleeping. And while you're in your sleep trying to find rest, he'll be sitting right there bombarding, bombarding, bombarding. And this is what Paul told us. He said, the battle that took place between me and me. We need God's help, don't we? Look at this again. Let me read you one more statement. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Look at this word grieved. To hurt, to pain, to grieve, to displease, vex, rest, be in pain. So just the least little thought that keeps the Holy Ghost from moving on to you, this is what you're doing to him. I'd like to ask you something, friends. Why would we do this to him? Let's pray together, can we? Lord Jesus. Oh my. Father, such powerful things have been said tonight. I'm so very thankful for them. Lord Jesus, I realize with all my heart, as a man preaching this, I've got to live what I'm talking about too. I can't just tell them about it, Lord, and then let it lay. I've got to try to live this myself. What greater thing could a man come to get to the spot to where he's no longer just quoting, but he's living what he's quoting? We have to have a willing and ready mind. I pray tonight for each one of us, please, please, Lord, don't let our minds become so cluttered. Don't let our minds and our thoughts be so in disarray that we stop thinking upon those pure and holy things. I had several places wrote down here tonight, Lord, where I was going to read how that the people in the book of Nehemiah, they began to work and restore because they had a mind to work. Father, many times we have come through great hard rubbles of life. Complete decimation of our prayer life. Complete decimation of joy. Complete decimation of peace and this and that. And Lord, in order for us to rebuild, we've got to have a mind that's ready to work for you. Help us, Lord. Because God, if it was those men's thoughts that hindered them from receiving revelation, it'll be our thoughts that'll hinder us from going further. Give us the strength, I pray, all around the building. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever. Little children, big children. Grandfathers, grandmothers, greats. Lord, whoever it might be tonight, prepare our minds, won't you, Jesus? Prepare our minds and help us to prepare our minds that we can be the kind of people, Lord, that when the devil brings some anti-thought through our mind, some anti-something, that we'd have the grit and the courage and the gumption to say, Satan, you are not allowed in my thoughts. Help us, Lord, each one, won't you? Please, grant it, Lord, I pray. For every one of them I see around the building today, Lord, their hands are up. Father, many of them even praying right this moment, I pray, as their hands go up before you, that the Holy Spirit will settle down on them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grant it, my Father, won't you, Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands to Him now, all of us? Let's just thank Him for what we heard tonight and just give Him praise. Lord Jesus, how we love You. How we thank You, Lord. How we love You. Father, we appreciate You, Lord, for all You do for us. You are matchless. You are eternal. You are the great King, the Lord, mighty in battle. We thank You tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless Your name tonight, Jesus. We just raise our hands and our voices together as a body. Lord, a body that is so needy. A body, Lord Jesus, that's in a warfare. Not folks on a picnic. Not folks just taking it easy. But people that are fighting the greatest battle that's ever been fought. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus, Savior. Help us tonight, our Savior, our King. Won't You give us Your grace? Give us Your mercy tonight, Father. Oh, hallelujah, that the Holy Spirit could raise up a standard within us, Lord. Start with our minds. Start with our thoughts. May You erase every preconceived notion. If there be one amongst us tonight, Lord, that doesn't have their mind stayed upon you, may they submit that thing to you tonight. May they give you control of their emotions, control of their thoughts, control of their actions. May they give you control of every area of their life. Oh, Jesus, won't you grant it tonight, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, I pray, drop on every ready mind, drop on every willing and ready heart. And may the Spirit of God, I pray, bring to us a freshness tonight here in Happy Valley. Hallelujah. May you resurrect those old prayer lives. May you resurrect that place of joy. Lord, where they once shouted and raised their hands and thanked you, now they're quiet and formal and cold. Oh, Jesus, change their thought today, Lord. Change their thinking, Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. If there be any of you here tonight that's got that way in your heart, won't you just turn it over to Him tonight? Lord, I submit it to you. I submit my preconceived notions. I submit my stubbornness. I submit my will over to you, Lord. Won't you grant it, Jesus? Grant it, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. How many believe it? I said, how many believe it? Just your confession alone is enough for Him to go to work right then. Amen. He's the high priest. He's the high priest of our profession, our confession. Just you saying, Brother Chuck, I believe it. I believe it's right. The high priest goes to work right then. Hallelujah. Don't you sit there and let the devil defeat you. I tell you in the name of the Lord, your victory is here. For some of you that's been wrestling and fighting, I tell you again, I say in the name of the Lord, your victory is here. All you got to do is receive it, children. All you got to do is say, Lord, I believe it. Lord, I believe it. I open my mind to receive the revelation. I open my mind, Jesus. I push all my thoughts that are contrary aside. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Each one now, let's just keep worshiping. I just feel He's wanting to do something. I don't know, but hallelujah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Hallelujah.
I want to see you. Yes, we do. I want to see you. All together now. Open the eyes of my heart. Won't you open the eyes? Oh, yes, I do, Jesus. I want to see you.
How?
See you high and lifted.
Open up everlasting gates.
Shine in the light and pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Oh, yes, I do.
Take it up a little bit now.
Open the eyes of my heart. Won't you open the eyes of my heart? I won't.
Satan, I sense you trying to block them. I condemn you in the name of Jesus. The children of God are trying to break through. I sense you, Satan, take your hand off. Grant it, Father. Lord, as we linger and wait on you, Lord, may they recognize what you're trying to do for them. Grant it, Lord, right now, in Jesus, may liberty fall. Hallelujah. Oh, don't be stubborn. Don't hold your gates back. Open your doors. Open your hearts. Let the Lord Jesus come in.
Sing it to Jesus. Oh. quickly now. Take the hand of somebody standing there next to you. Let's offer a word of prayer for one another. Friends, I'm telling you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, somebody's trying to break through in this building and it ain't happening. I want you believing children right now, help me. Help me. Join your heart. Join your faith together. Let's pray. And saint of God, whoever you are, backslider, sinner, whoever you are, I want you to know in the name of the Lord Jesus, tonight is your night. Tonight is the night the Holy Spirit wants to fall on you and liberate you from the things you're bound with. I tell you, as God's servant with His anointing up here on me, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. It's your time. Let go right now as we pray. Each one now in your own way. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we lay hands one upon another. Lord God, I don't know what it is, but I keep feeling constrained of your spirit. Somebody here is right on the verge, right on the edge, about to go over, Lord God, but the devil's trying to hold them. As saints of God lay their hands one upon another, we just claim right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Spirit of God will break that something over their life. Oh, Lord Jesus, may the Holy Ghost, I pray, just come down and break those chains off of them. Break those fetters away from their life. May every David in here take his rock and direct it right to the head of that Goliath. And Satan, in the name of Jesus, we condemn you for the glory of God. Come away from him for the glory of the Lord Jesus. You're a liar. We adjure you in the name of Christ who sets us free. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Oh, my, 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 my. That's it. Don't let go of that. Hold on to that. Oh, my, I felt a break just a minute ago. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that, Lord. We give you praise right now. We give you thanks. I felt it lift, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. We bless your name. We worship you. We glorify you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I bless you, Lord Jesus. I bless you. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh, worship me, children. Worship Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We give you glory tonight, Lord Jesus.
Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I close the door.
Hey, it's the only door we'll close to you, Lord.
Let thy presence come, Shekinah, unending is all I.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord Jesus, we thank you. Glory!
Speak to me gently let that presence and Southern Shekinah. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh my. Oh my. God, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you would come and grace such people. Lord, as low as we were. Lord, seemingly in the world standing good for nothing. And yet you would come and grace us with your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to know I'm thankful for your visitation tonight. I want you to know I praise you and thank you for your great visitation tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Wonder tonight, was I just the only one that felt it lift? Or who else in here felt it lift too when we started praying? All right now, devil. You told me I was an idiot. What about that? I heard the devil say, shut your mouth. You're making an embarrassment of yourself. But I knew, I felt it in his spirit. Somebody needed that touch tonight. And friends, if everything I preach was for that one person, I'm thankful God got to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. How in the world do you close a service like this anyhow? That's right, you sing a faster song. G, you in G for Jesus?
Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. No more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study.
God bless you for tomorrow morning.